Anyway, I just got to remember that. Plus, I'm old, so I have an excuse. Anyway, I want to say thank you for that gift, the pastor appreciation gift. I think pastors came up with that whole pastor appreciation gift, you know, which I'm happy. I'm not the one that came up with it, but I don't mind. But it's really a nice thing. I just want to thank you guys for that, because that's a gift from the elders. If I was you, I'd probably be wondering, what'd they get? Anybody else besides me wonder that? Thank you very much. One other person was honest. I have no idea. I didn't look at it yet. Normally, it's like a gift card to somewhere or something like that. I was hoping for a crossbow. the way I'm hunting this year, I'm going for a crossbow. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that gift. And thank you for doing that. That's literally from you guys and from the church. Thank you. And while I'm on the thank you stage, everything I get paid here is from you. And I just want to thank you for the privilege and for the honor of being paid to serve God, because we're talking about spiritual gifts, and not everybody that practices their spiritual gifts gets paid for it. I didn't for years and years, but I just want you to know I really appreciate that, and thank you very much. And they should have a congregation appreciation month, and then I'd buy you all a gift. Maybe someday we'll do that, but thank you. Thank you for that. The other thing that I want to remind you of, and I'm asking you for prayer in this area. The next 2 weeks, I warned you, I told you last week. The next 2 weeks, Pastor Bob Jr. will be sharing, and he's going to be sharing on the topic of homosexuality. And I'm really looking forward to it. Please pray for him. He's been putting in a huge amount of time studying this, because this is a really sensitive subject in today's society. First week is going to be on the inerrancy of the Word of God. We have to lay that foundation. So the whole first service is the first week is the inerrancy of the Word of God. Because if we don't believe that the Word of God is truth, then kind of our whole foundation, our legs are cut out from under us. And then the second week will be more on the topic of then how do we as believers handle that rightly? How do we handle that in love? What the world is doing and what some churches and things are doing. And it certainly isn't by burning flags that people fly out. We're handling the right way to handle these kind of situations and that subject among other believers and other unbelievers and things like that. So I'm really looking forward. But please pray for him as he studies that. I am just really, really looking forward to it and looking forward to celebrating the truth of the Word of God and learning from it myself. So pray for that as we go on. The other thing, I'm not doing this so much for you, maybe I am, but first service, it was rainy, it was dreary. Everybody was just kind of sitting there. Praise and worship were good. And it reminded me, I don't work in KFJ this year. I've been in KFJ for a lot of years, and so this week I had two counseling sessions, and then when it was done a little bit early, I came over at KFJ's closing time, and Pastor Ronnie had a most interesting thing. He had a camera, got a picture of a camera mounted on the front of a roller coaster, and it was of Knobels, or however you say it, Nobles, Knobels, you know. It was at that place, and it was that roller coaster. What is that rickety one? The Phoenix, yeah, it was of that. And so I thought, that is awesome, and if I thought about it, I'd had him bring the video in here. So I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Unless you cannot stand up for some main physical reason, you're get up there, Hunter. All right, everybody standing. Everybody put your hand up. Both hands up in the air. Now here, you do this with me now. Both hands, if you can. Here we are. We're getting on the roller coaster where you're in the front of the roller coaster, right? It takes off. And now it gets to the thing. Come on. You're going up there. You know, the clicking and clicking. And you're getting like, Jesse, put your hands up. All right. And so you're going up there. You're right at the top of the roller coaster. You start down over the edge. You're not pushed by the back cars yet. And all of a sudden, yeah! Come on, guys. Okay, sit down. And there's 100 kids in the floor, and their lions go, wah, wah, woo-hoo. Pastor Ronnie was the worst of them, but the whole first service was awake after he got done a roller coaster ride, all right? He just had the picture up here. It was really cool. But thank you for being here. Thank you for being awake. We've been talking quite a few weeks ago. We've 7 weeks ago or so, we started to, oh man, I'm tired. I'm out of breath. It's age. Anyway, but I love that roller coaster. It's so scary. Not the ups and downs. It feels like you're going to fly off the track, the whole thing. Anyway, that's beside the point. But it's really fun. We've been talking about spiritual gifts, and I want you to understand something for sure. This is the last week we're on this, okay? We're going to finish up on this, and so I'm going to get a lot in this week if I can. Well, I'm going to get in anyway. But a spiritual gift. And I think it's up here on the thing. A spiritual gift is a result. You can't forget this. This is hugely fundamental to spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a result of the power of the Holy Spirit given to believers at salvation. Please don't forget that. Given to which believers at salvation? All believers. Good. Some of you guys were listening. All believers. A spiritual gift is a gift given to you at the moment of salvation. If you're born into God's family, you have a spiritual gift. You might not know what it is at this point. You might not have looked, but you, every single believer, is given a gift by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself, at the moment of salvation. And the thing about spiritual gifts are focused on bringing glory to God. Spiritual gifts are focused on bringing glory to God. It's not glory to me. Oh, I got this spiritual gift and I get to stand in front. So, you know, whoa, look at me. It's spiritual gifts are given to us to bring glory to God and God's grace to other people. In other words, we are called not only to bring glory to God, but through our mouths, because we're all given part of the gift of evangelism. Some people have it greatly, but we're all called to go into the world and bring God's grace, show God's grace, that every one of us deserved death. We deserved eternal separation from God. But God loved me, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place, to pay the punishment for my sin so I can be right with God and have eternal life. And a really good life on earth, you know, not as far as good stuff, but just to have abundance in my soul. So every one of us is given a gift, a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is not just talents, because some people are good with talents. They're just naturally good at stuff, but it brings glory to them. No, but God can take your talents and make them. You can use your talents to bring glory to God, and God can hugely increase your talents. But spiritual gifts, like talents, were meant for every single person who's a believer in Christ, your gifts and your talents, to bring glory to God and to be able to show God's grace to other people, that God had mercy on them and is gracious to them. Every single one of us has that. Now, not everybody knows, especially young believers, don't really understand this whole thing about spiritual gifts. I don't mean young by age, but just newer believers. But the thing about spiritual gifts, I want to give some warnings and some really cool things about spiritual gifts. So many times we get all caught up in the kind of gifts that we have, or the kind of gifts that others have been given. Okay, we get, oh, well, I don't have this gift, and I don't have his gift, and well, if I had his gift, I could do that. If I had her gift, I could do that. We get all worried about the kind of gifts that we or others have been given. The important thing is, who gave us the gift? Wow, that was weak. Who gave us a spiritual gift? God gives us spiritual gifts to every believer as He sees fit. And when He knit you together in your mother's womb, He gave you a particular propensity to a spiritual gift. And when He gives it to you, or a talent, and He gives it to you specifically, yours, it may be the same as mine, it may be different than mine, I have no idea. But God gave us a gift as He saw fit, not the ones that I might want or that someone else has. And what He says, now use it to its full extent. This is what God expects of us, to use our spiritual gifts to the full extent. Now, the problem, a couple problems with spiritual gifts. There's two problems I want to go over first. One is, you know, kind of we look at other people's spiritual gifts. You know, sometimes it's easier to see someone else's spiritual gifts, and you look at them and says, oh, I don't have a gift like theirs, and look at the credit they get, and they do this, but my spiritual gift, if I know it, is, you know, it's not really all that important. It's not as important as these KFJ workers and these guys that work in there. It's not as important as like Abby and the praise team when they're singing up here, and my spiritual gift's a little smaller. There's a problem that a lot of believers face, is jealousy over spiritual gifts. And so God speaks to that here in 1 Corinthians 12:15-20. And this is interesting now. I'm going to read this slow, and I don't want to get so wrapped up in this because this could be a fun passage to teach. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It would not be, it says, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You can see why this would be a fun passage to illustrate, you know, but I'm not going to go there. I'm, you know, denying myself that fun. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. See, a lot of times we think, oh, if I had a gift like that, then God could use me. If I had that gift, I had that gift. And we look at other people's gifts and we say, but I don't have one like that, you know. So, but God says you are still part of the body. He says, in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted to be. Just as he wanted you to have. He gave you the gifts that you have. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Looking at others, we have a problem that we do. We sometimes look at other people's gifts and feel like ours is less. That is a huge mistake. Feeling jealous, well, if I had a big gift, we look at other people's gift and think, well, mine's not as important as theirs. What does that say about how God gifted you? That he didn't like you as much, he didn't care about you as much? God gifted you exactly the way he intends you to be. And he says, now use that gift to bring honor and glory to me. The same expectations are as of me or anybody else you might have a think has a bigger gift or a more public gift. God has gifted you that. He specifically says that. And our problem is sometimes we get jealous of other people's gifts. We might not say that, but you know, we kind of feel that way, inferior to, or maybe it's like this. Maybe it's like 1 Corinthians 12:21-26. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But listen to this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that, and listen to this, there should be no division in the body. And as soon as we start looking at other people's gifts and comparing it to ours, we start dividing the body into important people and semi-important people and not so important people and semi-important gifts and not so important gifts. In fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. They're all one part. Where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You see, every one of us is a part of the body. And God has called us to use our part of the body to help the whole body of Christ in Pine Grove Community Church, the whole body of Christ in Harrisburg, the whole body of Christ around the world, in Africa or India or wherever. God made us part of that, to be part of that whole entire body of Christ. We're not all going to have the same gifts. So sometimes we look at other people's gifts and we feel more. Sometimes there's pride over our gifts. And I think this is really prevalent in a lot of pastors and public speaking kind of people. And you'll see it on TV and you'll hear it where they just seem to think that they're better. They get this pride over gifts like, I'm the one that gets to teach and I'm the one that led all these people to the Lord. And the guy that has the more service-oriented gifts sometimes feels less, because some people that have greater public gifts and worship teams and stuff feel like they have more. So we get real problems with gifts. Sometimes we look at other people's gifts and we feel less. And sometimes we look at other people's gifts and we feel more. You got to understand something. In God's scheme of things, if you ever run a race, anybody here ever run a race? You run a race, you were in school, you run a race. And someone comes up to you and says, man, that was an awesome race. You won. It was awesome. And what do you say? You say, hey, don't praise me. I didn't run it. It was my foot. My foot ran the race. Praise my foot. Praise my foot? Or if you're in a baseball team, you know, and you're the pitcher, and you go, wow, wow. And after the game, yeah, you won the game. You did awesome. You pitched a no-hitter. It's like, oh, It really wasn't me. It was my arm. Here. Praise my arm. Give my arm a trophy. It wasn't just a foot. It wasn't just the arm. How about if you're a speaker, a really good speaker, an evangelist, and really people say, oh, man, you really spoke to me. Well, I'll tell you what. It really wasn't me who spoke to you. It was my lips. Just bring praise to my lips like this. It was the whole body. It wasn't just my lips. My jaw helps a little bit. My lips are important because, hey, just drink less lip to me. I mean, you need to have lips, all right, to be able to do that, all right? You know what I'm saying? You understand where I'm going with this? It's the whole entire body. When you run a race, your body did it. Every part of your body. When you speak, every part of your body. So it's not just my lips. The whole body. We all win. When everybody uses their gifts, we all win. Every one of us. The body of Christ wins. The body of Christ stands out. Ouch. Ow. Oh.
You all right?
Oh. Yeah, I think so. Sorry, guys. Yes, I did. I hit my knee. I have a little tendon in my ankle that doesn't work right sometimes. Sorry about that. But in the body of Christ, when one person doesn't work right, what happens to the whole body? It's just a little tendon, right? It's not a really important tendon. But what happens to the whole body? It falls. Thank you guys for having so much mercy on me. I appreciate that. I really do. Luke helped me up the first service, and I feel really bad when people responded with the gift of mercy. I'm sorry about that. First service, Vicky just starts laughing. She didn't even know I was going to do it. But a lot of times we think our gift is not a big deal. They don't really need my gift. Well, if your small gift isn't being used in service in the body, it affects the whole body. What's a stupid little tendon? It makes a big difference when it comes to the whole body and the head. I'm sorry. I couldn't. I've been saving that illustration this entire series. I've been wanting to do that like crazy to see people's reactions. I'm sorry. I thought after first service, someday I'm going to have a heart attack up here and really do it. Everybody, look at him. Another stupid illustration. Oh, it's an illustration. I'll try not to eat candy when I come up here. The reason we're spending so many weeks on this is because we need to find our spiritual gifts. Because if you're in this body and not using your spiritual gifts, this church is weaker. This church can't impact the world the way God wants us to. Because people are not exercising their spiritual gifts. Even though you feel like mine's not as big as someone else's, mine's not really important. If you are a believer in Christ, you are called to use your spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. The entire world is not as healthy when believers are not using their spiritual gifts. Let alone the church is not using its spiritual gifts. So what harm does it do if I don't use my spiritual gifts? It causes problems in the church. It causes the poor pastor to bang his head on chairs. Let me ask you this. Here we go. If you went to a restaurant... Oh, thank you, Nick. I appreciate it, David. I know who my friends are. She laughs, they come to my rescue. I appreciate that. If you went to a restaurant and you walked into this restaurant that was advertised really cool and you walked in and the place was dirty and it was stinky, you open up the door and wow, this waft of air is like, you know, and you go up and you start walk across the floor and did you ever walk into a restaurant like that? You know, and you hear the food is great. But the place is dirty and stinky and unfriendly. And the lady who's her man or whoever's the waiter or the walking to the table says, what do you want? How many of you are there? Five? I don't know if we have any tables for five. Stop having kids. Okay, you can sit over here. We'll slide a few of them together. You've experienced that, right? Yeah, we'll slide a few of them together. And people are really nasty. You know, it's dirty, it's stinky, it's unfriendly, but the food tasted really, really good. Would you invite friends and family back, and would you recommend that restaurant? Why? Food's not the only thing that makes a restaurant great. The cleaning people, the trash removal, the servers, the hostesses, the dishwashers, the cooks. Dishwashers are important. The cooks. The repairmen, the service providers, the inspectors, the advertisers, the landscapers. If one of them doesn't do their job, that restaurant is not going to be as successful. Everything's good, but the dishes have dirt all over them, and someone else's egg is still on my plate. So you get another one. There's another egg. You get a spoon. Make sure you lick the bottom off, you know. If there's one person that's not doing their job, the whole restaurant, the whole did you ever? the whole. What's the point? All of us working together makes a place smooth. It makes it work the way God called it to work. So we are all called to find our spiritual gifts and to use our spiritual gifts. Sometimes we get distracted in churches, especially when you hear spiritual gift sermons. And you can go online and get all kinds of spiritual gifts tests and stuff like that. You can do that if you want. I've looked at some of them. But you know what? A lot of times we get distracted by trying to find our specific gift. You know? If only I knew what my spiritual gift was, then I'd use it. And so you take these tests. Oh, maybe it's this. Oh, maybe it's that. I would use my gift, and I want to use my gift, but I don't know what it is. And we get all distracted and all bent out of shape by trying to find out what our spiritual gift is. Problem with that is most believers, all believers, I might say, have more than one spiritual gift. But we get all worried and all distracted about that. And you know what? If we're all worried about using our and finding our spiritual gift, guess what? We're never going to get around to using it. And we use that as an excuse why we don't have to serve, because I'm not really sure what my spiritual gift is yet. I want to tell you a couple of mottos that Vicki and I have kind of lived by most of our life, and some were taught to me. There was one that we learned from Elizabeth Elliot. And she says, Elizabeth Elliot, she says, just do the next thing. Just do the next thing. I want to tell you, I was raised by just doing it. I'm trying to give you an idea how to get involved in your spiritual gift. I was raised with the idea of just doing the next thing by my mom and dad. My dad was married like in the service for about a month or right out of the service and got divorced. And so they went to a church. They wouldn't let him take offering. They wouldn't let him teach children in that church or anything. Even though he got saved after that, that wouldn't allow him to do anything in that church. Didn't stop my mom and dad. Well, they lived in a neighborhood. There was a bunch of kids. Well, they started teaching a Good News Club. And they brought kids into their living room and taught a Good News Club. And after a while, it went so good, they taught one in Lititz. And then they started teaching one in the Seventh Ward down in Lancaster. And they just started this ministry. And all of a sudden, they realized that CEF ends over the summer and these kids are left. Let's buy two tents and take them camping. So they went up to my uncle's property, up where I live now and where we had the baptism and stuff, and they set up two tents and they had the kids up for a week, and then someone else found out about it, brought their group and someone else, and 52 years it went on as a camp in I almost said infecting, but in inspiring people, all kinds of people and all kinds of kids, and piles of people are on the mission field, and we had a little part in that because they just did the next thing, whatever was there. We need to do something with these kids over the summer. And then they started putting ministries together, and they couldn't serve, they weren't allowed to serve in the church, so they started serving. And by the time my father passed away, they were like at least five or six programs a week or more in different parts of the East Coast of the United States, and for rally days and all kinds of stuff like that. And mom was scared to death. She still is scared when she has to get up in front of the KFJ when Pastor Ronnie has her over there. She was scared the whole time. I started working that. She was working that. But they just did. It was what God had. I don't know. I don't think you guys ever thought, well, what is our spiritual gift? Doing programs for kids, camping ministry. That's what we want to get into. It was just the next thing. Vicki and I grew up kind of doing that whole same thing. When we left the other church, we went out west for a long period of time and remember praying. And Vicki, when she shares her testimony, she says, we just asked God, what's next? What's next? Well, there's Pine Grove. That needs a church. So we planted a church in Pine Grove, and our kind of ministry has always been that way. Everywhere we went, they needed some youth. Well, we can work with youth. So we started a youth ministry here, there, the other church. And God, just whatever's the next thing. It wasn't like, what? I'm not even absolutely sure. I have to ask her what my spiritual gift is. All I know is I'm doing the next thing that God called me to do. And if God calls me, he's going to equip me to just do whatever he brings in my path. Some of you ladies are doing experiencing God. Where's God working? I can get involved in that. I might not be good. I might not be gifted at it. And then you start using your gifts, and after a while you realize, wow, I do like this, or this isn't my favorite, or this is my favorite, and I feel really inspired by God when I'm doing this. That's probably a good hint that it's a spiritual gift. It's one of your spiritual gifts. So just do the next thing. Elizabeth Elliot said, her husband Jim Elliot has an interesting statement, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you go, just be all there. It's like, okay, I've got to go to the family reunion. Okay, watch the football game. Boom, 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 you know? Or whatever you do when you watch football games. I've watched a couple of them myself. You know, much more interesting in baseball games. Poof. First pitch. No, anyway, but, sorry. Just wherever you are, be all there. Go to serve. Whatever you can do to serve. Oh, the one I like the most, and it goes with this, is Vicki and I use this all the time. Youth group's going to recognize this. Ministry teams. Ministry's a lifestyle. Did you ever hear that before? Bob stole it from us. Ministry is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do when you come to church on Sunday. Everyone who's a believer in Christ, ministry should be a lifestyle. You walk into church saying, no one's going to say hi to me. What do I do? It's a paper on the floor. Walk past it. Pick it up. Serve in any little way. Ministry's a lifestyle. You go to a family reunion. Okay, you might not like to go to family reunions. They're not my favorite things. But when I go, I make sure there's conversations that are worthwhile. I make sure I do something that's worthwhile. And you know what you do? You probably don't have the gift of cooking if you're like me. But don't tell me you don't have the gift of cleaning up and washing dishes at that family reunion. Instead of watching the game, instead of something, serve. Ministry is a lifestyle. Everywhere you go, you are a minister and an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Everywhere, all the time. And we are all called to serve. In some way or another, look for chances to serve. I just really enjoy it. You'll feel uncomfortable about this. When you go somewhere with a church or have a church banquet, how many people, when they're done, they just get up and leave? And there's the four people that put it together. They're the ones they're supposed to clean up right now. You guys do really good at this. And everybody else gets up and leaves. Where are all the servants that have served the people that put it together? We do that at home with our moms. Around the family. We are called, ministry is a lifestyle. And when you live, how can I serve? How can I serve? Now remember, all these gifts are service gifts. They are to build up the body of Christ. When you go around thinking, if I'm here, I'm going to be all here, and I'm going to serve, because ministry is a lifestyle. For every believer, it should be. And use as many gifts as you have, or develop all new ones, and use your talents to serve God and bring glory to God. And you become a servant, a minister. And I want to pick on pastors, because pastors are probably some of the worst people who do not serve around churches, because they're the pastor. Shame on us, pastors. We should be the example of serving. And the higher we get in ministry, we should get lower and lower and serve. And Vicki says, amen. Thank you. Get down there, Bob. examples of gifts. I want to make the rest of this. I want you to understand some practicality in this, in gifts. I'm going to help you search for some of your, like, if you're not really sure where your ministry gifts is, because they sound so biblical. and you get this list of 27 Bible ones or 15 Bible ones or 50 Bible ones, you know, and these are the spiritual gifts. I want to tell you what, there are so many more gifts than God didn't talk to us about. Any talent we have with God behind it to serve God and bring glory to God and bring grace to other people is amazing. Just to go through a couple of them, there's a guy by the name of Barnabas. A lot of you guys know his name means encouragement. In Acts 4, 33 to 47, listen to him. God's grace was so powerful at work in them, this was the early church, that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Why did they change his name? Why did they call him a nickname of son of encouragement? Why do you think so? What do you think gift he had? Encouragement. Instilling courage in people. You give like that to a church, an early church, and you hugely encourage the church. When you give to a church, we can say, hey, we have plenty of money. We're blessing people all over the world like you guys do. That's an encouragement to the pastors to stop by. And Joseph, the Levite from Cyprus, whose apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He certainly had a gift of encouragement. What other gift did he have? Do you see in his life? Starts with a G and ends with an Iving. Giving. He had the gift of giving. He sold a whole piece of property and gave it to the church. And then when Paul got saved, the apostle Paul, on his road to Damascus and he was converted, he was killing Christians. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus Christ. He was hugely responsible for instilling courage in the people that Paul came to and in Paul and empowering him to become the apostle Paul that he was. And then I have one more passage about him in Acts 11, 21. The Lord's hand was with them and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. This is in their ministry. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. That's encouragement. When you instill courage for someone to remain true, don't give up. God will get you through. He's in it. He'll do it. Hang on. I'm with you. Keep going. When you feel like giving up and you have someone come into your life that's an encourager and has the gift of encouragement, you walk away feeling more proud and more able to do what God has called you to do. That's a huge gift. It says here, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So what's his gifts? Another gift, the gift of faith. Awesome. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. What is his other gift in there? He was a gift of teaching or evangelism. I don't know. They're both their mouth gifts.
Thanks for the lips.
He has a man of many gifts and many talents. He encouraged, he taught. There was a widow of Zarephath the Bible talks about. And this is right after Elijah told King Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And sometimes later the brook dried up and he was there. And so God took him to the brook of Cherith or whatever. And he was living there drinking out of the spring. And every day ravens would come first thing in the morning and drop food on him. And every night ravens would come back and drop more food on him, like squirrels, chipmunks. Roadkill, chariot kill, I don't have any idea. But the ravens fed him for years. And finally the brook dried up. And the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And listen to what he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called and bring me, please, he said, please, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. And she turns to him and she says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I tried to picture, how much is a handful of flour? How much flour can you stack in your hand? She might have had a whole entire stack of flour. Can tell I'm not a baker. whatever would fit in her palm, that was it. It's all she had left. Sure as the Lord God's lives, she replied, I don't have any bread or any handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord. The widow of Zarephath. What was her spiritual gift? What's that? Serving, for sure. How about giving? She gave her last meal to this man that she didn't even know. Wasn't even part of his religion. And also, after that, she gave Elijah the room in the top of her house. So what else would that be? And he lived there until he went back. Hospitality. Just multi-gifted. This is what God does. When people serve, your gifts just increase. And your talents used to serve God become important talents. Not just, oh, I'm good at this, or oh, I'm a good player, and I'm good. It just becomes an amazing thing when powered by God. Giving, hospitality. Faith, I think, would be one of her gifts. To say, okay, you know, pour it out. This is it. We're finished. And she goes back the next day expecting to not have any. And there's just enough in there again and just enough in there again. There was a lady by the name of Dorcas who was serving in Joppa where there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About the time she became sick and died and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard, anyway, this is the lady that made clothes for people. She made clothes for widow. Peter sent them when it says when he was all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter went up and brought her back to life and healed her after she'd been dead for a long time. This Dorcas, what was her gifts? What was some of her gifts? What serving? What else? What else? Giving. What else? Mercy. Her heart went out to these people that needed to have this. She eventually founded Salvation Army and went on. No, I'm kidding. But she this is what she did. This was her gifts. She made clothes for people that didn't have it. She just did what came next. She had a widow next door that needed clothes. She sewed them. She fixed her clothing. She did whatever. She had mercy on these people. Martha, in Luke 10, 38 to 40, as you remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus, you know, Lazarus died. As Jesus' disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. What was one of her gifts? Hospitality. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. What was her gift? Hospitality, serving, all this kind of stuff. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. What was her other gift? Grumbling. That's not a gift from the Holy Spirit, okay? Andy always tells me that's people's gifts, complainers and grumblers. I don't know. No one ever complains in here and grumbles. Well, once in a while, but yeah, I never do. She wasn't shaking her head. Anyway, grumbling isn't a gift. Some people think it is. Priscilla and Aquila. Acts 18, 24 to 26. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, listen to him for a minute, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man and through knowledge and thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he did not know anything with the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. What was his gifts? What was his spiritual gifts? Teaching, preaching. Explaining the scriptures. What? Knowledge. Bold. Boldness. Is boldness in the list of gifts? No. But don't you know that you begin a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline? Yes, it can be. It might not be listed in the spiritual gifts, but there's all kinds of things. And he used it for God's glory. Listen, when a Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife team, heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way more adequately. What are their gifts? Teaching. And hospitality. And whatever else. And they took Apollos and they teached him. So much so that when Paul writes about Aquila and Priscilla, he's in Romans, he says, all the Gentile churches were grateful to that couple for what they did and what they taught. And they were co-workers of Paul. They went with him most of the time. They were probably the Sunday school teachers in his synagogue. The Sunday school teachers in his church. Who taught and worked together as a team. They had gifts of teaching and hospitality. Billy Graham. Did you ever hear of Billy Graham?
Once.
Billy Graham. What was his gifts? What was his main gift? Evangelism. He preached to more than 215 million people, 185 countries. Who knows how many responded? And he says when he's old and suffering from Parkinson's disease and his old age, he said, my mind tells me I ought to get out there and go, he said, as he was beginning to feel the effects of his disease. But I just can't do it. But I will preach until there's no breath left in my body. I was called by God, and until God tells me to retire, I cannot. Whatever strength I have, whatever time God lets me have, is going to be dedicated to doing the work of the evangelist as long as I live. That's a man who knew his calling and his giftedness after all those years. But he didn't start out that way. He just started out talking to people. Candy Majerski, what was her gifts? You probably don't know her. She was someone that Vicki and I went to church with a long time ago. She stands out in my mind when I think of giftedness. Because Candy Majerski, everywhere she went, oh, it drove me crazy. Everywhere she went, she came back with this awesome story of sitting beside someone in the waiting room at the doctor's office, the dentist's office, and leading them to Christ and pointing them to Jesus Christ and bringing glory to God. Everywhere she went, it was so frustrating because I wanted to do that. She just had the gift of what? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I was over here. The gift of what? Witnessing. Evangelism. Mercy. She'd be standing in the grocery line and get into this real deep conversation with a woman. They'd pray together out in the parking lot. All kinds of stories. Mercy. Evangelism, just piles of things. Did you ever hear of Mary Beth Sowerman? Some of you can say yes on that. She's an ethnomusicologist. We knew her from the other church. We're still friends with them. They're missionaries in Thailand. And Mary Beth Sowerman, if you ever talked to her, you would sit there, and when she was done talking, you'd say, I am her best friend. And everybody felt like they were her best friend, which is not possible, okay? But you would just feel like it. Because she'd ask you a question, she'd look at you, and it wasn't this, what is it? It was like, it pulled things out of you. How you doing? And it wasn't just like, hey, how you doing? Fine, thanks, Mary, see you later. You wouldn't get away with that. How are you feeling? What can I pray for? Something about her. It made you feel, right? It made you feel like you were her best friend, and you weren't, I was. The gift of mercy. And I felt stronger when I got done talking to Mary Beth than I did before I went. I felt better when I was walking away. And why is that? Because her gift was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It just drew your heart. Edna Mae Glick. Old lady. She was old when my kids were in her, when we were not in her Sunday school class, but maybe. Edna Mae Glick was a person in the Lancaster County Child Evangelism Fellowship, the co-director. She was a little old lady when I was young, all right? And she just had little gray hair and a straight down long dress, and you should see her play soccer, and you should see her play when she came up with the kids up to camp, and just Edna Mae Glick was just amazing. Vicki can still remember stories that she taught and lessons that she taught Vicki. She was just nonstop. She had the gift of, teacher. And when her house burnt down, she came and babysitted the two kids that we had at that time so we could go out and have a night together. That was hugely impactful for us. amazing lady in the thousands of kids that she reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ in her own little Edna May way. And you know what? She was an old lady. Another gift that she had. You know what another gift she had was? Singleness. Singleness. She shared once, I think, with Vicky about, you know, there was time when she wished she would have been married. There was time when she wished she could experience those things, but now her heart is given to God. And she had no desire to be married anymore. She had the gift of singleness. God gave her the supernatural power to be content with singleness. And she impacted kids all over the place. Claire Hostetter, he stops by at church once in a while. He was my junior high Bible teacher. He taught at camp a lot of times. When Vicky dedicated her life to Jesus Christ, he was teaching at camp, invited her to the front. He taught me how to teach and how to make, how the Bible can be alive for a junior high student. The Bible could be alive. And I thought, wow, he is an amazing teacher. He was our friend. He was just such a cool guy. Teaching, practical teaching. Taught me how to teach the Bible practically in junior high. Kristen Getty, what is her spiritual gifts? Singing. That's probably a talent. Kristen Getty, we sang one of her songs today. Her and her husband write songs. What song did we sing today that was hers? I've written down, so no. She sang the In Christ Alone song. In Christ Alone. We sang a song today. What was it? Oh, come on, there. By faith. You know? And she sang, a lot of people are talented, and a lot of Christian singers are talented and can sing. And a lot of them then, God has taken their talent and made it amazing like hers. And what I see in her, it's not just singing, it's teaching. It's explaining the scriptures. They write their music, and a lot of that's her husband saying, in a way that it's like you can't understand, you can't remember it because it's not always like just a little bit of words and a melody, a little bit. It's just like deep teaching in her song. She's an evangelist. I think she's a prophet, someone who explains the scripture in singing. I want you, God, to understand that most people normally have more than one gift. So if you're looking for your gift, you're going to miss all the others. Just serve. Most people have more than one gift. We're all given talents to use. Serve any way you can. And in serving, your gifts are just going to show up. I know that's against the norm of talking about spiritual gifts, but you just look for a way to serve. And if you're serving, that's awesome, and God is using you. And some of that serving will be like, okay, I served, that's okay. You know, it really didn't stand out. But this one, this serving here just kind of lit me up, you know? It kind of like, I enjoyed this. And someone said, it looks like you have a gift of that, and it fires you up. Serve God with whatever gift you have, no matter how small it seems. You want to know who has a small gift around here? Do not turn your heads and look, but tell me the names of the people running the sound and the projectors up there that were watching what happens. I'm going to talk to you about that. You come to the first service, you keep quiet during the second service. We don't know that. It's a behind-the-scenes gift that nobody says, whoa, those slides came up right. Thanks for changing those slides. Thanks for running my sound. Not all gifts are noticeable. But if it didn't have it and it messed up, it would cause problems in a service. Your gift may not seem big, but it's serving God. The people that clean up in here, pick up the trash and pick up the paper. We should all be doing that. We should look for places to serve within the body. And serving the body doesn't just mean here, although this is the huge place where God wants us to serve, but to bring honor and glory to God at your work, in your home, at school. To use your talents to honor God and serve God. And in using your talents to serve God, in just serving God, your gifts will show up. Just do the next thing. Be all there where you go. When you go home, be all there. It's a hard place to be all there. Ministry is a lifestyle. You start to live ministry as a lifestyle, and God will show you very quickly what your spiritual gifts are. I just don't like this believer sitting around, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. I'd be glad to serve God, but if I knew what my spiritual gifts were, I'd be able to do it better. Then do it not so good. Just serve. And God will grow your spiritual gifts. God will allow that practice to form your gifts. Until you're good at what God's called you to do. Until what God calls you to do is part of the body. And when anybody comes to know Jesus Christ, it's the fault of the greeters and the cleaners and the toilet washers and the teachers and the changer of fingers. And the person that picked up paper on the floor and the person that empties the trash and the person that paints the outside and puts new roofs on. And the person that when they walk in the door, say, "Hey, I'm Bob. Great to have you. You're from around here?" And start up a conversation. That is why people come to know Jesus Christ in this church. Because of all of us. Not me. You could have a great preacher and stinky people. And who would come? "Boy, that place is nasty. Like a nasty waitress." We all work together to make the body of Christ function flawlessly. And whenever there's a little ligament that isn't working, it brings us down a little farther and a little farther, and we are a little more crippled in our ministry when one of our body isn't functioning the way God designed you to function. I mean, like, there's so many ministries you get involved in. CMTS, Andy and Nancy. Their ministry is serving and piles of other things. Take Celebrate Recovery, for example. Nathan is just putting this ministry together that influences people's lives in an amazing way, but he can't get people to help serve in there. You know why? Because he expects them to be trained for a whole year. But the impact on the people that they serve is eternal. We're called to love people. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lays down his life for a friend. And we are called to lay down our goals and what we think is fun and what we think is cool to say, "God, what do you want? And I'm willing to train for a year because I can impact people's lives for all of eternity." Because we're only going to be in this earth for a short while. And you don't have much longer to find your spiritual gifts or use them or find your other spiritual gifts because you have way more than one. That's why we did this series. Now, I was thinking about then putting a little paper in the bulletin today of, well, these are things that you can do to serve God around here. And I was going to pass that out and have you all feel guilty and say, "Okay, I got to do something." Or, "No, I'm not going to serve at all." I'd like you to think about it for a week. I'll put it in next week. Just some opportunities for service around here. But this isn't the only place. And that's why I love ministry as a lifestyle, because it's not just done at church on a Sunday morning. Or a KFJ or a CR or CMTS. It's a lifestyle. So that I wanted to give you some ideas of a whole bunch of different things. And I want you to think this week. I would love you to think this week. Am I exercising my spiritual gift? You know what? You're given spiritual gifts, and if you don't exercise it, guess what happens? Your muscles atrophy, and they just skinny away to nothing. You become an unhealthy member. I love unhealthy members. It's okay. But I'm challenging you to become healthy again. Become healthy again. So we're going to give you a list of things that you could get involved in around here. You know, what's the name of the guy that's doing security today? Kyle, thank you, yes. Okay, I mean, we pass these people that are serving and using their talents and gifts. We had one of them run up here to rescue me. Thank you. Yeah, don't cross him. I'm sorry I did that. I'm going to have a heart attack someday, and you're just going to laugh. Yeah. Revenge is his gift. But just, so I'd like you to think about it and pray about it for a week, and start exercising serving. And as you serve, your spiritual gifts will just, you know, you'll serve and serve and serve and serve. Well, that's a good sign. That's a spiritual gift. And then keep doing serving, serving, serve. And you find another one. And while you have one that's serving, then keep serving, serving, serving. Because ministry is a lifestyle. Wherever you are, be all there. Just do the next thing. You guys are going through, some of the ladies are going through experiencing God. That's all about. Just do the next thing. Do the next thing. You guys are an awesome church. This series wasn't designed to make you feel guilty. It's designed to help you grow for your own benefit. Look for a place to serve in your life. Look for a whole bunch of places to serve. And I already said that again and again and again, so I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. Thank you for making this whole spiritual gift stuff so simple. Sometimes our spiritual gifts, like in CR, need to be trained, and that's awesome. But we'll never know if that's a spiritual gift till we try. But use us. Speak to us. Help us as a church to just grow up a little bit more because of this message in this series. Thank you for the amazing thing you did. Because, Lord, none of us are bystanders in your kingdom. We are all integral parts, little tendons in your grand scheme of the world coming to know Christ. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen.